Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Monday, the 16th of February, President's Day. Hope you guys had a great weekend. We had my middle daughter up here with us over the weekend. That was a lot of fun. And we went over to, about an hour's drive from here and had dinner with my son and his girlfriend. That was a lot of fun. Hadn't seen him for 4 or 5 months, so that was a good deal. And we spent the rest of the time just kind of playing games and watching movies and goofing around. So we had a blast over the weekend. Don't forget Wednesday coming up here. Wednesday, right here on the Shooting Bench. You guys have had plenty of time to read that book. If you haven't, then don't be here Wednesday and get it all ruined for you, because we're going to talk about One Second After at great length and preparing communities for different types of things, and I think it'll be an interesting show. Got a lot of stuff to cover that night. And Thursday, you know, there's a lot of gun things happening right now, and I'm kind of pondering on doing away with the all gun night, because it doesn't ever seem to work out that way. There's so much gun stuff going on, and I hate to save it until Thursdays sometimes, and I wind up talking about it beforehand. And then this last Thursday we got off on a tangent and we did talk about gun stuff, but we talked about several other things too. So I don't know how well that's going to continue to work. We might just kind of do this same old thing over and over Monday through Thursday, and then get back to Liberty Lounge on Fridays. Let's see what y'all think about that. But speaking of which, let me look in the chat room here and see what's going on. The Yakima Glock finished it, and we had a couple other people in the chat room last week that said that they finished it, and a few of them said they've already read it. So maybe this is maybe most of you have already taken care of it. But anyway. Hopper, I haven't seen what's going on in Massachusetts. I don't know. You know, over the last 6 or 8 months, I've remarked a couple of times about the fact that there are just so damn much stuff going on every day. I just can't possible. I used to do a little research and say, okay, this is an important issue, and there's an important issue, I'll get this taken care of, and then we'll get to some of the less important space fillers just to make a show. And that was back when I was just doing a show once a week years ago, and it seemed to be pretty easy. And now I'm doing a show every damn day, and I can't near touch everything that I want to that seems to me that is significantly important, that's important enough that I think it ought to be some time devoted to it. So I don't know, I just have to pick, and then I have to go and all the emails and text messages I get, oh, have you seen this, have you seen that, are you going to talk about this, I'll try it, guys, but I'm not going back to 2 hours. I'm just not. Not right now, anyway. I'm doing 2 hours Friday. But, I'd have to go, I'd have to be like Rush and do 3 hours a day. And if I start if we start making enough money to justify that time, then I'll do it. But right now, ain't going to be happening. I did see many a 6.9 earthquake in Japan. Tsunami is imminent over there. It's pretty much a guaranteed deal. I don't know what the status is on it right this minute. I saw it when it first happened, and I haven't had time to check on it since then. So, I don't know. I just don't know. But, hey, Palm Bay's in there. Good to see you. Let me check and see what we have here. Let's see. Got a handful of anonymous come in there in the last little bit. And Palm Bay's joined us, and we still got a lot of the regulars there. So, all right, good enough. Boy, where to start? I guess we'll, one of the things that is really concerning right now, we talked about this a little bit back 2 weeks ago, and that is the shipping thing, the Baltic Dry Index. And I'm looking at some of the images here of the harbors and the trucks and stuff backed up till hell won't have it. And the shipping situation is just getting really, really tough here. Let's see. Oh, stand by a minute. I got a listener wanting to come in here. And he hasn't been on since the network changed. So I got to get him a link so he can get in here and join us. There we go. All right, we'll probably be seeing him in here in just a little bit. So just in no particular order, we've got just 1,000 things to go through here. There was just late last night, man killed and an officer shot at a shootout in Walmart. And that's one of the things that I've noticed here over the last couple of weeks, maybe a month, is the amount of shootings and the amount of attacks and the amount of terrorist attacks and everything just seems to be picking up. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm more aware and looking at, the different things that are going on, but it seems that things are picking up exponentially here and getting worse. But C7, are you right about that? I don't think Fukushima was 10 years ago. Let's see. I'm going to check it out here, though, and see just when that was, because that seems like, let's see, there's the magnitude 6.8 earthquake strikes just north of Fukushima again, so that's no good. When was that? Trying to find something on that here. If you guys find it before I do, we'll stick it in the chat room so everybody can see. Let's see. Yeah, no, that was just 4 years ago, man. That wasn't a decade ago. That was 2011. Okay. All right. Scared me there for a minute. Boy, I thought I'd lost a little time. But there's also the big scare right now that's a gun-related thing is the 223 ammo ban that is potential right now or possible. And that is, I think that's probably going to become a reality whether or not everybody gets on there and talks about it, and sends letters and emails and phone calls to the ATF on this. I don't think it's going to make any difference. I think that they have an ulterior motive here, and they're using that as an excuse. And I think they're going to do just damn exactly what they want to do, whether or not everybody gets on the line and gripes about it. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't get on the line and gripe about it, because you really should. You should get on there and make sure that they know, because it's kind of like voting or several other things. You know, if you don't try, you got no room to gripe. There should be no griping whatsoever if you're not going to put forth a little effort to try to stop this. If you make your token phone call and send your emails and stuff and take 5 minutes out of your precious schedule for a day or two here and send some things in, then at least we know we gave it a shot. But I'm convinced this time that it's not going to matter. I think that they're doing everything that they can possibly do to, we've seen the potential ban here on body armor. And then we see a ban on one of the most popular things that will penetrate body armor. So they don't want us to be protected, and they don't want their protection compromised. It's kind of what it sounds like here. So now I'll have to say that this kind of surprises me anyway, because I don't know why the 855 got away through the ban originally. It's always had the 855 is not steel core. The 855 has a tiny tungsten penetrator in it. It's not steel core at all. It has a very small penetrator up towards the nose, and it's got a little better penetration than some of the other stuff, but you know, I don't know that it's all that in a bag of chips. I mean, I'm not sure why it will, in fact. I mean, it does have a little armor-piercing penetrator in it. So, that's why it's awful funny to me that it didn't get caught the first time around in the armor-piercing ammo ban. Now, for those of you that don't know the armor-piercing ammo, there's armor-piercing 308s, 30-06, stuff like that, 338, whatever. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But some moron, somewhere down the long line, some brain-dead retard, scum-sucking, bottom-feeding piece of garbage they didn't have two brain cells to rub together, decided that armor-piercing pistol ammunition was somehow a horrible thing, even though there hasn't been any documented deaths or anything over that I'm aware of over armor-piercing pistol ammunition. So thanks to Olympia Arms at the time, there's a lot more of them now, but thanks to Olympia Arms, they had the little AR handgun. And since they did, then ATF decided that armor-piercing 223 was not legal. Although armor-piercing 243 would be okay, 22-250 would be okay, 222 would be okay, and of course the 308s and 30-06 and 416 Rigby, if there was such of armor-piercing stuff, all that's all right. But they just don't want armor-piercing pistol ammo. So I'm a little surprised that the little penetrator made it through the first ban. So this is absolutely no surprise to me that they are attempting to do this right now. There's plenty of sites out there. I'm not going to post it, but there's plenty of stuff out there. You can go to the NRA's website. You can go to, guns.com. You can go to 100 places out there. All kinds of places where you can write your Congress critters and all of that. So, and you should, and I encourage you to. I wish all of you would get out there and give them a few words and be courteous, be professional, and do it do it like normal folks, and we'll see what happens. But I have my doubts whether this is going to get knocked down or not. I'm kind of the opinion that it's going to fly right through no matter what anybody says. Now, let's look at the other side of that. The thing is that other than the fact that it's another intrusion on our rights, it really doesn't make any difference. People only shoot that stuff up because it's usually reasonably priced at gun shows and stuff like that. And it's the Tinker, you'll have to post a link on that. If it, you're talking about the ban includes common jacketed military ball, I think it does not. Unless you can find a link to prove otherwise, every story that I've read up till now it talks about only the M855s, which is the one with the penetrator. But if you've got a link that says otherwise, then please put it out there. AZOK just put one up there. I'm going to check on it. Oh, that's the NRA link. Yeah, it just says 855. Unless they've changed it since the last time I've read it. It says right here, announced today that it intends to ban commonplace 855 ball ammunition as armor-piercing ammunition. The decision continues, blah, 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 da-da-da-da, 855, 855, 855. This does not include regular full metal jacketed ball ammunition. It does not include hollow points. It does not include anything else in any story that I have seen so far, unless somebody else has one. Many, the link that you posted is the one that I just read out of. They're not going to dis... Now, they're... Okay, understand that this pisses me off real bad. It is another intrusion on my rights. I hate it, and I don't even have a 223 anymore, but it still ticks me off that they're doing this. However, it doesn't matter. Other than the intrusion on the rights, as far as it's going to make AR-15, you know, 223 ammo go up and availability go down for a little while, and this is all in the plan. But what I don't like is it says that indefensible attempt to disrupt ammunition of the most popular rifle in America. If all the 855 in the world disappeared today, nobody's going to miss it except the people, you know, the few people that's all they have, you know, and everybody, there's lots of SS-109 out there. There's lots of what was the other, the original, the old 55 grain stuff. Maybe that was the 109, but at any rate, there's tons of 223 ammo available. Yes, I hate this. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It gripes me till I cannot see straight. 193, thanks, Mountain Shooter. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. It really ticks me off. But in the overall scheme of things, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference because there's just a lot of ammo out there. The 223 full metal jacket will zip through most, I think, your level 3 vest. I think it'll zip right on through them, maybe the 3As. And the penetrators are for, as the name implies, armor. And they, you know, it's yeah, they will get through a little more body armor than the regular full metal jacket. But anyway, the Yakima Glock, I think you're right about that. That's why I was thinking when I said SS-109. 193 was what I was thinking about. And so, yeah, you're right about the SS-109. So, matter of fact, the SS-109 might be, I mean, you can probably correct me, but the SS-109 might be the projectile itself, and the ammunition is the 855. Maybe that's where I'm getting that. But anyway, so as bad as I don't like it, it's not going to have a big effect on anything other than availability and stuff for a while. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to tell you this, and I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings. Well, I don't care if I hurt anybody's feelings or not. After everything that's gone on up till now, if you are still worried about getting ammo, then your preparations suck. If you're still looking to get this after the last 6 years of what we've gone through, and even some before that, and you're still worried about getting ammo, then you are sucking hind tit as far as I'm concerned. You need to get your poop in a group and get with it, okay? Yakima Glock, thank you. I think that's what I was thinking. So, the level 3 and 4 vests have to have plates to achieve that level. There's no soft body armor that I'm aware of that stops a 308. Without plates, there can't be a 3 and a 4 as far as I know. But anyway, that's probably enough on that stuff. And it doesn't, I've said this before. I've said it several times. On the one hand, as DeTinker says, yeah, you can never have too much ammo. That's right to a point. But the fact that you can't carry all of that stuff with you if you do have to leave, the fact that it costs money, it takes up room, it does everything else, but if you have 500 rounds of ammo to start with, and you haven't acquired more by the time that 500 is used up, then you're dead, or you've crawled off in a cave somewhere, and you just shoot down there every once in a while, just let everybody know you're there. You can't shoot that much round in a firefight and not come up with some ammunition sooner or later. So I say, if you're going to continue to buy ammo, you better not be lacking one other item. You don't need to buy that much ammo. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that if you start out with 500 rounds or 1,000 rounds, you will acquire more or nothing has happened, one or the other. What was I going to say? A little train run off the track again. But, oh, I know what I was going to say. If you are lacking in food, if you have any less than a year food supply, if you lack in medical supplies, if you lack in alternative power source, if you lack in beeswax candles, if you lack in anything, and you're continuing to buy ammo, your priorities suck. Because ammo is not going to get you everything else that you need. You're going to wind up having to try to barter that at a grossly exaggerated exchange rate when the balloon goes up. Get your stuff now. And when everything else is taken care of, at that point, if you absolutely think you just have to get a little more ammo, then get it then. But as the thing starts out, as it begins, it is not necessary to have 60,000 rounds of ammo. Again, it's not a bad thing. A man that is completely equipped and prepared and has 60,000 rounds of ammo, you are a rich man, because that ammunition is going to be worth a lot. But don't cut yourself short while you're stocking up all this ammo. Don't panic. Don't panic because they've got another band going here. Yes, it's a terrible thing. Yes, it's an intrusion on our rights. Yes, I don't want to see it happen. But make sure that your other preparations are taken care of first.
Well, Mama was exhausted after she had me. Two nurses to hold me and one nurse to slap me. Doctor turned to Mama and he shook his head, wiped the sweat off his brow. And then he said, this boy's way off the charts as far as I can tell. Mama, he's a double XL.
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle. Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, we're back. Looks like AZOK left us there. We've picked up a couple of anonymous. All right, good to see you guys coming in here and there. Northwest Heavy, I'm glad to see you had a glad to hear that you had an FTX here. When did you say last night or tonight or something? So I'm glad to hear that. On that note right there, let's talk about something else for a minute. Everybody knows the reality of what ISIS is doing. They just slaughtered 21 Christians here again this morning or yesterday. We know how bad that is. It's counterproductive to really sit here and talk about all this bad news over and over and over. They're bad news. You watch Fox News, you listen to Drudge, you listen to Alex Jones, you get on the internet and you look all this stuff up for yourself. And I'm trying to talk about some of the things that are happening, and everybody's posting links to all this stuff, you know, as I'm saying it. So it really is wasting my time to talk about this very much. So maybe we ought to change gears a little bit and look at how to at least sometimes look at some of the things that we ought to be doing, and maybe trying to spread a little more knowledge, a little more common sense about some of this stuff, rather than just I'm not talking about you doing it. I'm just thinking that we'd be better off to talk about some of the things that we ought to be doing to help ourselves, instead of just continuing to rub salt in the wound here with more news stories. Now, some of them are relevant. We'll spend a little time with them, but let's talk about something there. There's a group on Facebook that I've been helping a little bit with a few things. And of course, they've got some good people doing their own things too. But there's what started this was a sale come up with I'm on a black vest, and I didn't want to say anything at the moment, because I know that the person is trying to make money, and I know that he's in business and he has to do this, and I have no problem whatsoever with that. But Pumpkin Cat, we are going to do that on Wednesday night. Yeah, but we're going to go another direction here with some other stuff here. So I trying to figure out a way to talk to him about this, and just to make it real short and sweet, if you have anything black in your gear, get rid of it, or cover it up, or change it, do something. Don't have it. You shouldn't have anything black on your gear. Now, you can get away with the floor plate of your pistol magazine. Even the grip of your pistol probably should be broken up a little bit. Your sling on your rifle, your scope, your rifle itself, your magazines, all of that stuff. Now, here's where I'm going to pee in your post-toasties a little bit. Now, I have a cat that says, why no black? Black shows up like you would not possibly understand if you haven't been out there and in the field and actually looked with that in mind. Now, I tell you, I've got a couple of pictures here. I'm going to put one of them in. These are not the best ones. The other ones I haven't actually put online yet, so I can't really post them in the chat room. Come on, stop acting like an idiot here, and let's get on with this. Okay, here's It's still not working. Let me reload this page and try this over again. See if I can get this to work. Right, it's reloading right now. I've got a couple pictures that'll give you an indication of what it is. They're not real good. I've got some other real good ones, but I can't drag them in the chat room without having a URL to them, without putting them online somewhere. So the black and Iowa cat, it's not really quite that simple. White by itself shows up real bad in the winter. Even if you're standing in, 4 feet of snow. Yeah, the snow is by itself is pure white. But if you look at the little humps and bumps in the snow and a stick that might stick up somewhere, a footprint, anything that might break up the outline of snow looks like a tiny shadow. So if you have a white, your white should be mixed in with a little bit of darker colored lines in the brown so that it breaks it up a little bit. Your green in the summer, green is better than nothing. But it should still be broken up into a pattern of some kind. Hopper, that's exactly right. Your snow ghillie suit have some black or some brown or something in it that will look like shadows a little bit. Now, also, pure black sucks at night when it's dark. You can see pure black better than several other colors. Any camouflage pattern works pretty well at night. The old woodland camo is a great night uniform. Any of them work well, though. But pure black, pure green, pure brown, pure anything at night is not too hard to pick up if your night vision is fairly well tuned up. So, and Iowa Cat says, so brown. Well, not green, not brown, not white, not anything solid colors. You can have a little streaks of black and things. What I'm saying is don't have any black gear at all. Don't have a black holster on your belt, a black belt, not your karate belt, your belt that holds your stuff up. Black boots. Get rid of the black boots. Scuff them up, put mud on them or something, and the next boots you buy get tan or something else. The black boots really show up. Now, let me show you. Let me see if I can get back over here. And I'm going to show you a couple of different pictures here. This first one, I want you to look at the guy in the foreground with the tan cap on. Now, the tan cap isn't the end of the world. Moving around in a little brush, that wouldn't be too bad. Look at the woodland camo t-shirt compared to the multicam that the other guy is wearing. Look at this guy's boots, or you can see one boot, the black boot. Look at his SKS, look at the gun, look at the magazine, and see how all that stuff sticks out. Let's see here. Woodland camo is not too bad, Iowa Cat, but I'll tell you what. Multicam is freaking awesome. Multicam turns you into a chameleon. It don't matter where you're at, what kind of environment that you're in, the multicam, where maybe not in snow, but even in a urban environment where there's lots of concrete and bricks, the multicam still does pretty well. It's a little more expensive, but you can go to places like Bradley Surplus and pick up used stuff that's a whole lot cheaper and works well. It's more comfortable, because it's cheaper. I mean, because it's used. It's worn in a little bit. So not worn out, worn in. Now, this next picture I'm going to put on there, I want you to look at the the guy on the right, look at his boots, look at his uniform, look at his backpack, and look at his weapon. Look at the magazine on his weapon. Look at the guy on the left, laying more in the sunshine, which is easier to usually easier to see, a lot harder to get away from when you're a lot harder to hide when you're in the sunshine. Look at his boots, look at his pants. His pants are multicam. However, he has dark green backpack and stuff. Now his shirt is multicam. If you look at his elbow on the right hand side, look at his elbow, his right elbow, you can see, you can get an idea of what his shirt looks like in the shadows, and look and see what the pants look like in the sun. Both are multicam. However, he's got dark green stuff on his back, and he's got a black barrel on his weapon there. The guy on the right has a dark backpack, black boots, woodland camo pants, and a black magazine sticking out of his weapon. Now, if you look at all that stuff, and if you, Brad, Mountain Shooter, put an E between the L and the Y, BradleySurplus.com, Bradley, BRADLEY.com, good place to find gently used multicam. A lot of those pants that you get are, you know, $60 to $80, but you can get them on Bradley Surplus or some of these other surplus sites, you know, sometimes for $15, $18, $20, something like that. And that's a good price. Wow, that's a low price. I know. Let's see if I've got another picture here that looks a little better. I need to get some more of these. I've got several more that I need to put on a site here so that I can post URLs for them so everybody can see them. I've got a lot of them. I just need to get them out there for the world to see. And something else that you need to think about, and you need to think about it right now. You need to think about it tonight and tomorrow. You need to do it. Some of your weapons that you feel like you might be using in the future, whether it's a bolt action rifle or your AK or your AR or whatever it may be, by this time tomorrow night, it should not be brown and black, or black and silver, or silver, or all black, or whatever. If it takes a little time and it takes money to have the guns Duracoated or Cerakoted, definitely that's the best way to go. However, if you don't have the time and money to do it now, then go down to Walmart and get you some spray paint. There's some of it that they call camo paint. It's a Walmart brand and it's camo. It's a non-glare stuff, non-gloss. And they've got brown, a couple of shades of green, tan, black, all in camo. It's a great paint. Paint your gun. I don't care how pretty it is, guys. Get over it. The time is past for your prestigious crap that you want to show all your friends down at the gun club. Hell with that. It's done. Get your stuff ready to go to the field. Even if you just have to run out on the lawn and get behind the hedge, if you're doing that with a black rifle and black LBE, black vest, black backpack, black boots, black, but get rid of the black. Almost anything, with the exception of Hunter Orange and white and Kelly Green and stuff like that, but almost anything, any of your subdued colors are better than black. The spray paint works fine. I'll tell you, what? One thing great about the spray paint, it doesn't last as long as Duracoat or Cerakote, but It's easy to touch up when you do get to go home. Go back to the rear, keep a couple of cans in your gear, not that you carry on you, but what is back in camp or at home or wherever, and touch it up a little bit when it wears off. It's easy to take off if you want to change color patterns. You're going from the ponderosa pines to the saguaro cactus and sand, then change your color scheme on it. It's easy to do. Now, I have done the best that you can do, in my opinion, and that's I Cerakoted a couple of my guns black, and then I painted over them with the camo paint. So I have the protection of the Cerakote and the concealment of the camouflage there. But you need to, yeah, that's a good point, AZOK. Give it a little bit of time for the fresh paint smell to go away. Get it done. Get it done now. What does, let's see, C7 has something posted in it. Yeah, there's a nice, and you know what? Don't, that's a good looking gun there, but let me tell you, don't strain your milk over patterns and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. Just break it up. I don't care how you break it up or what it looks like. Just don't leave any too large of splotches in any one place. Now, also, if it doesn't really matter, even if it is a desert tan or a subdued green or some OD green or something like that, or a light brown or something, that is still infinitely better than black. Way better than black. But guys, you know, everybody, you know, you're making jokes about different things online. I'm not making jokes. This is not funny. I am dead serious. You need to do it now. I don't care how pretty it is. You know what's standing in here right now? My little CZ-527 with the absolute most gorgeous wood stock. I don't know about the most I've ever seen, but one of the prettiest wood stocks I have ever seen in my life. And I'm fixing to do that with that because we don't have time for pretty anymore. Pretty is done. So find your guns that you're most likely to use. You know, I'm not saying you have to do all of them, because you can't carry all of them. You're not going to fight with all of them. Some of them, you're literally going to either destroy, abandon, or give to somebody else, or bury. So they don't necessarily have to all be done. But some of the ones that you think that you might use the most, bolt action rifle, AKAR, handguns, your 590, your 870, get them camoed up. And you don't have to be an expert. It does not have to be pretty. It has only to be broken up a little bit. That's all it's going to take. Let me see if I have... Dang, I wish I could get these other pictures online for you. I've got some other real good ones that would show up good. Demonstrate the differences here. Let me get this one opened up and see if there's anything in it that really shows. I don't have that many online. Tomorrow, I'm probably going to fix that. All right, come on. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Easy does it. Let's move on in here. It's coming along. Here we go. All right, there we go. Let's see. Okay, this one is not great. It's not the one I wanted. We have other ones with weapons in them. But I'm going to put this on there. If I can get this stupid pop-up to go away here. There we go. All right. Okay, now this, I'm going to put this in here. And then we'll talk about it just a little bit. Okay, click on that and open it up. and look at the black boots. You can see two or three different, four, maybe four or five different pairs of black boots. Look at the couple of people there, one, two, three, that are wearing black belts. You can see the one guy there on his left side has a little black pouch, maybe a magazine carrier or a holster or something there. Look how bad that shows up. Look at the sunglasses. You got two guys in there wearing sunglasses. Look at the ACU uniforms as compared to the multicam. There's one, two, looks like three ACUs in there. Doesn't look too bad standing out there in the dirt, but you get them back in the trees, it's not nearly as good as the multicam. The guy on the far left has woodland camo. You can tell by looking at that how that's going to be. Now, woodland camo, when it's woodland, is fine. But when you have to change surroundings, you know, maybe in the same day, then it certainly helps to be able to have something that that is versatile enough to go from one to the other. Hey, okay, yeah, AZ, I remember the time we did that. That was a great job. Wes did a great job of that. Did real good. So let's see. Doc has serious suggestion. Detail strip most weapons, lightly sandblast them, hit them with phosphoric acid or rust resistant. And then, yeah, that's that would be a good thing to do if people have the means and the time and the money to do that. That's a great idea, and I fully agree with that. Let's see. And Yakima Glock, that's fine. If they're doing it with an airsoft, yeah, it's the same principle. And I mean everything. Look at the, if you guys will take and go out in the woods and have somebody take a video camera with you and go out there with your gear the way it is now and take several different shots or a video of getting in different types of foliage and around vehicles, laying flat on the ground, sunlight, shade, getting close to dark, whatever it may be, and review that video. Now, people have done this before, but they haven't done it with having the black in mind. Look at it with the black in mind and see how bad it shows up. It's awful. It's absolutely horrid how bad that black is. So, at LB Sand, I couldn't agree more. Guns are tools. I've got some pretty ones that I don't intend to paint unless we get right down to it. I have the ones that are service ready now, but if it gets down to the point where we have to go out and give some of our guns to other people and everything, I'm gonna say, here you go. Here's a whatever and two cans of camo paint, and you know, go take care of it. And I'll see you later. Let them deal with it. Glock. Doc. Doc is absolutely right about the roughing that up a little bit and having a rust preventative on it. However, if you don't have the ability to do that or the time or money to do it, just paint it. Just paint it. And as it wears a little bit, it's not going to all wear off at the same time. You'll have things around the muzzle and the bolt and where you load and where it rubs up against stuff and rides against your pack when it's on your shoulder and whatever, that'll wear off a little bit at a time. But it's going to last for a good while. Just real quick, I'm going to give you a hint of the way I do it. AZ, okay. I'm not a big fan of ATAX. They're okay, but for my money, And let me tell you what happened at an FTX that we did down in the Phoenix area, actually just south of Globe, or west of Globe, here a while back. Summer before last, I guess. We had Wes go out, and we had a steel target out there at 200 yards, and it wasn't set up good enough. It got knocked down, so I sent Wes out there to set it up again. He didn't carry a long gun with him. He's in tan boots, multicam uniform, multicam hat, and his brown belt and a black holster with his black grip of his Glock showing on his right side. So he goes down there and he's setting it up, and as long as his left side is turned toward us, his extra magazines, he didn't have a magazine carrier, is in his vest, which was back at the firing line. So all he was wearing was his handgun. So he went out. He was 200 yards away, clear day, hardly any vegetation whatsoever. But boys, I want to tell you what, when he turned his left side to us, even when he was moving slowly, it was kind of hard to pick out with the naked eye. If you're just glancing out across there real quick, not know he's there, I can absolutely promise you, you wouldn't have seen him. But when he turned the right side to us, it was like somebody turned on a light. That black holster showed up so quick. It was absolute. That's when I really started studying this and realizing that the black has got to go. It was amazing that he turned his right side to us. So we fixed that little problem right quick. Our next couple of weekends were spent making the black disappear. The black needs to go away. And I got to looking at several things. We did several tests and several exercises after that and some videos and stuff. And got to looking at the black. And my word, I don't know why I hadn't noticed it before. I don't know why that we hadn't thought about that, you know, in several wars back to Vietnam would have been a great place. If, you know, we had camo uniforms and all this stuff, but the only ones that really camoed their rifles much were the snipers. I have never seen a picture. Now, I wasn't there, but I've never seen a picture or a video or a movie or anything where where any of your M16s or anything were ever camoed. That's not to say that there may not have been some somewhere, but nevertheless, I've never seen it, and there it wasn't a common thing, even if they did do it a few times. So there's some things for you to think about a little bit. And I've probably got some more if I'd sit and think about it a little bit. It's after we've run over time a little bit, which is fine. I don't have anybody following me, so it's all right. But that's just one of the hints, the tips I've got for you that might help you a little bit. Now, some of you seem to think that you are going to be out on the front lines and fighting, you know, whoever it is that we have to fight, UN or the, you know, illegal aliens or the Chinese or whatever the case may be. If you really think that that's going to happen, if you really think that you are physically prepared, mentally and spiritually prepared, that you have the gear and that you have the balls to go in and do that, then don't go out and do it unless your gear is squared away. Get rid of some of that expensive gadgetry crap that they advertise on SWAT magazine or whatever. Get what works. Get it camouflaged, and make sure it's maintained properly. And get busy and start training and get into it. If you think you're going to get out there, then you better start working on it. Because I'm going to tell you what, boys and girls, we're going to be out there before too long. I do not believe for 1 minute that we're going to get through this whole year without something very significant happening in this country. There is a possibility that I'll be wrong again, and I pray that I am. I've never wanted to be wrong so bad in my life, but I have never felt like I was so right as I do now. So you can take that for what it's worth, do with it what you will, and if nothing happens between now and this time tomorrow, I'll be back here again with the Shooting Bench. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.